Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Alrighty, Shuffle Footycast live from Backchat Studios. Will Schofield, Mark Reddy's coming at you, getting all the big, through all the big stuff, West Coast Freo and the rest of the league. Coming into round two, Skeeter, how are you? Fresh off the big debate.
Yeah, the big debate, very good. It was traditional media versus social media. And so I was obviously on the traditional media.
Were you?
Oh, what a surprise to you, you numbnut.
Imagine you putting it all together from social media. You just asked, how were you on LinkedIn last night? Is that how you knew I was on the big debate? You absolute numpty. You put it on your Instagram story.
I didn't put anything on Instagram. I don't know how I got there. If I've got someone working for me that I don't know about, please tell me. I don't know how to get onto my Instagram account. My daughter does a bit of work on that front. If she did that, thank you, Georgia, for that.
Happy birthday to Victoria coming up this
Sunday. Yeah, shares it with a couple of big footy names for what it's worth. Glenn Jakovich, Robert Wiley, two greats of WA footy, and Tina Altieri for what it's worth, who does a bit of nice work as well.
I'm sure everyone very much cares about that, Skeeter.
Oh, you brought it up here.
Her 40th birthday, Victoria?
No, she's past that. 40. I mean, no, she's got me. Yeah, no, I'm punching, so let's continue.
You got her a nice present?
I'm going to pick it up this morning. That's okay.
You were punching away on your phone.
I'm booking a restaurant.
You're punching away on your phone.
And we're going high class. We're going right to the top. We're going to the Elford up the road.
Very good. Shelter Footy Cast, welcome. That's the Southern River Band boys out at Thornley. They're on big UK tour, Skeeter. They're doing
in the UK.
They are absolutely taking on the world over there in Europe. Tomorrow, Pacific Avenue playing. Don't even worry about Pacific Avenue. Like, it's sold out. I think it's sold out. If it's not, you can get some tickets on the door. Just
quickly, will they perform
a big show?
Is it upstairs or downstairs?
Downstairs. The whole place joint. Pumping.
Wow.
You've not been to a concert at Shelter?
No, I haven't actually.
It's
no.
Very good.
Yeah, okay.
I know the Shelter boys listen to us every week. Of course they do. Can we get someone, maybe get Skeet to select a band to play at Shelter and we run a concert? I would love to have you hand select someone to play at Shelter because it's a very good venue, Skeet, as you know.
Yeah.
Look after us there at Shelter.
Maybe Darren Reed and the Soul City Groove.
Darren Reed and the Soul City.
Slim Jim and the Fats, they did my year 12. Nick coming with some sharp humour at the back of the room.
Oh, very good. Now, Skeeter, been a bit of a laugh fest to start the show, but this is quite serious news. We are giving away. Remember the first round zero, we gave away tickets to the West Coast Charter.
Yes.
We have two tickets, right, over to the Port Adelaide game.
But we thought, no, that's not quite cutting the mustard.
Well, because Port Adelaide, good side in Adelaide. Don't know if West Coast were much of a chance. I give West Coast a chance of winning this game, which we have four tickets on the chartered plane, four tickets to the game over in Melbourne versus the Western Bulldogs next weekend.
So that's two of our listeners, yes, as opposed to one getting four tickets. Two of our listeners, so you can take a partner, a mate, a wife, a girlfriend, whatever it is, you know, boyfriend. You choose your poison, and you go over there and you watch the Eagles up against the Dogs at Marvel Stadium, I think it is.
That is correct. Look, Bulldogs are in absolute all sorts. Beveridge could be sacked before this game even happens. So get over there. West Coast Eagles, Western Bulldogs. You'll have two tickets, so we're going to have two winners away. Two tickets on the plane with the players. From all reports, our winner in the round zero had a great time over there and on the way back. No, absolutely.
I'm just thinking we might end up in Hindley Street at 2 a.m. on a morning just doing his best work.
A great time with the Shelters, correct. Now, two tickets on the charter plane, two tickets to the game. Sort your own accom. Thanks to our friend at Tassa Australia.
Yeah, Paul Ramsey Terrell runs the show, but Paul and the team, they do a super job. And yeah, they've got the West Coast Eagles charter set up. So look, we're hoping to give away plenty more through the course of the year.
So to enter this competition, you need to listen out for the code word in this podcast, which Mark Reddings is going to come up with as we speak. I've put him on the absolute point. I thought this would be very good. Skeeter's going to give us a code word at some point in this podcast. You go on to backchatstudios.com.au. You'll see the pop-up, enter your name, enter the code word, and you are in. If you're on socials, which is Shelter Footycast on Instagram. Click the link in bio, enter code word. There you go. So Skater, just give us some content today as you're thinking of the code word. I know it's going to trouble your brain a little
no,
bit.
No, I've got one ready to go, but I'll hold fire.
Thank you very much. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. Alrighty, Skate, let's get into some biggish moments that happened during the week. There's some free on West Coast stuff, but I think holistically in the AFL, the Tasmanian Devils, that's a big deal.
It's huge.
Did you like the logo? Did you like the colours?
Oh, I liked all of it. It's no surprise. I mean, it was almost felt like we knew what was coming with the Devils, felt like the green was going to be predominantly the right colour. Everything looks great. Now, I think it's fantastic. You think of guys like Matty Richardson over the journey, Jack Revolt, who's a face of the new franchise.
Don't worry, if you've had Tasmanian at any point in your life, there's some bandwagoning going on.
And there's some passion. I mean, Tim Lane in the media has been massive. I reckon it's great. I think it's fantastic. Obviously, the next question is, and the membership's not going to be a huge issue when it's $10 a pop and they've got 100,000 already.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, what do you get for that?
Just a couple of stickers.
Okay.
But I saw a little graphic last night on one of the footy shows. So $10, you get a couple of stickers. Yeah. And it's a token.
Foundation member.
Right? Over 100,000 people. So there's $1 million in the bank, by the way.
Yeah,
no worries. I think it's 120. Like, I think it's 1.2, 1.3. Western Bulldogs, you can get a 3-game membership for $33. So don't sneeze too much at the Tasmanian Devils. Like, the Western Bulldogs, an established football club, is selling their memberships for $11 a game.
That's cheap. That's under the odds.
Spot. Correct.
Sure. Just quickly on Tasmania. Yep, there's a lot to work out with lists. 2028, the concessions they'll be given. There's also an election taking place in a couple of days in Tasmania, which by all accounts is going to have a impact as to whether the stadium that they have, it has a roof, doesn't have a roof. So by all accounts, everyone's really confident that it'll go ahead. There's a bit of posturing because always there's a political party suggesting we need to put that money into hospitals, into education, into housing. I get that. But there's also a kitty set aside. And we've seen it here in Perth.
Yes.
With the $1 billion spent on Optus Stadium. Colin Barnett, went out and said, no, we're going to do this. It's been completed. It's now probably the jewel in the crown when it comes to Perth, attracting big concerts, obviously footy regularly, major events. So for the Tasmanians, just, suck it up and enjoy it. No, well... You can't just spend all your money on hospitals, education. There has to be a kiddie scoey.
Down the barrel, please. Tasmanians, just suck it up.
Suck it up. Enjoy the moment, because in 10 years, you'll come back and say, bloody hell, we made the right move, and that's what we're doing now. Yeah. We could have been stuck at Subiaco or a poor imitation of a rebuild of Subi. This is Optus Stadium, as good as we'll get in Australia at the moment.
That is exactly right. Well said, Skeeter. If you think that politics don't play a part in the AFL, then you only have to look no further than this announcement right now. Tuesday before an election, here's the team. It's happening. It's colours. There's members. There's 150,000 members. They are putting the full force on this election, and the politicians involved with it.
Good point. No, it's a good point, because now it's like, well, this is here. We've said that we're the Tasmanian Devils.
150,000 people on board.
Now cancel us.
Correct.
Yeah. So 150,000 or 100,000 plus. You're right, in Tassie, or most of them in Tassie. That's a pretty significant announcement. And the timing, you're 100% right.
We mentioned McKercher and Sanders, but the way they're saying they're going to do this is a little different to Gold Coast and GWS. Gold Coast, GWS, they got a lot of draft concessions at the time, and it significantly sacrifices is the wrong word. The draft, it
compromises.
Compromises the draft, because you get all the best young players in the league going to a Gold Coast or a GWS, and they're all the same age. So GWS and Gold Coast had this big crop of players that were high talent, but they just had a lot of them in that mix, and some of them are still there, right? But what they're going to do with the Tassie Devils is they're going to do those draft concessions, but they're going to force them to trade them. So it means, yes, they'll have some high-end talent, but they'll be able to go and get an Oscar Allen from West Coast, just to throw a name out there.
Yep.
They'll be able to go and get a Tim English or whoever they want with pick number one, because they have to trade it. I really like that. They want this club to succeed
early, as opposed to what we've seen with... The Giants went through 2 years, but they were pretty quick with their upswing.
In the finals in their fourth year.
Thereabouts.
Fourth to fifth year.
And we're still waiting for the Gold Coast to hit September. So, yeah, I think the model they're looking at now, but bear that in mind for a club like, both clubs here, every club, but, the West Coast Eagles, Fremantle, you have to be really preparing and planning ahead of, schedule, because you're going to have a window where you're going to be bereft of perhaps...
West Coast will be if there's a positive to see, we're about to talk about a couple of things with West Coast. If there's a positive, it's they are shit a little bit ahead of time.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a bottom of this ladder team in 2028, 2027.
Yep.
So West Coast will be able to get some high draft picks this year, definitely this year again. Like as we've said here on the podcast previewing, this is going to be very close to a wooden spoon side.
Yeah. West Coast and Eagles. Is there a Harley Reid waiting for 2025 or end of 2024? I mean, ideally, you'd like to be able to get more than just one really high.
Well, they would have liked that this year, but
of course, it didn't quite pan out with the splitting the picks, etc.
Right. So West Coast has gone from strength to strength. They get done by Port Adelaide, and then Oscar Allen knee 6 to 8 minimum could be worse.
Can you clarify? Do you think this was an injury he has taken through pre-season?
Yes, absolutely.
Or something that he has just okay. So off the back of that, was it incumbent on the captain or the club for him not to play in round one, or do you think he was just trying to manage his way through it?
I know people want to point the finger and say, whose fault is it? Is it the club's fault? Is it Oscar's fault? Is it, is it the physio? Yeah. And I think it's everyone's in these situations because it is a collaborative decision when you're playing with injury. And this is a very common thing in the AFL. There's not many players running around that aren't injured. And so when it comes to Monday or Tuesday, they assess how they're going and can you train and then can you get through a bit of training and then you do and then you have a discussion. It's not a doctor doesn't come in and say yes or no. There is a lot of ins and outs with this.
Can I ask this question just quickly on the way through?
Hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I agree totally. If the Eagles were better placed personnel-wise in terms of talent-wise, and obviously Oscar's captain, so he feels almost an obligation to be there round one, I get it. Because they're so inexperienced, they're so short on confidence, for want of a better term, do you think the club's position on the ladder, not be at start of the season.
I don't think he plays. Yeah. He plays that preseason game. He pulls up sore, has knee swelling. That is from bone stress. That is what that is.
And so you don't play. If you've got a better list at your disposal.
Absolutely. So, I mean, yes, I know that, you know, the really critical people will say, well, why would you play him in the first place? Why hasn't the club learnt anything from last year? Because we saw this a bit and players getting injured. Well, it's a balancing act is the answer.
And it's not easy. And it's easy to submit. Hindsight, you said, is a wonderful thing.
This is the elite level. And as a player, you need to make decisions every day what you're right, what you're capable of doing. And sometimes you get it wrong. West Coast have clearly got, I think, this wrong. And they've got a lot wrong over the last 24 months. But it's also hindsight. You need to make decisions. Right? Can he play or can't he play? Right, we're gonna play him. It hasn't worked out. And this is a terrible, terrible result. For West Coast, their captain, their best player out for 6 to 8 weeks and maybe more because bone stress isn't like a hamstring skater. You can't just click your fingers and 3 weeks and you're back. So, bad result. Andrew Gaff getting dropped on a Monday. Have you seen much of that happen before?
I haven't, but I think I listened to you on radio the other night and a caller made a really good point about Craig McRae essentially mentioned that Ash Johnson was going to probably miss out this week, which he has. Yeah. And we've talked about the backlash that he unfairly received on social media, or the degree, which is pretty disgusting. But no, it's pretty rare on Monday for the coach to come out. Was it calculated? Was it something he was asked the question and thought, no, I'll just be as transparent as possible? Is that a Don Pike mantra? Just look, let's be open and honest. I don't know where it sits. You've been in the club system with them a lot longer than anyone that is listening or myself, that whether this was just Simpson coming out and saying, you know what, I'm going to call it as it is. Let's not muck around. Let's say, Gaffey, you're going to have a spell.
Yep.
First time in 11 years. I think he's going to play a practice game for West Coast against Subi, I think, Saturday. So is it the end of Andrew Gaff? I don't think it is this year. I just think there'll be many occasions where there's injuries or form that means that he gets an opportunity if he's playing well. And he might come back and hopefully he gets 30 on the weekend and the following 2 weeks and does push up. But ideally, you do want those younger players to, if they get that chance, whether it's Chester, whether it's Hall, to thrive and then make life pretty tough to Gaff to get back.
Well, that's what's caused some angst between some fans, and I can understand that and empathise with that, that Campbell Chester was played as the sub. But why would you play Chester as the sub and Andrew Gaff on the field? He puts a poor game together and now he's dropped. Why are you wasting that? Oh, I talked about it on radio and I'm doubled down here. I think a lot of these young players are missing the opportunity to develop their game in the waffle. Campbell Chess is one of them. Ruben Jimby's one of them. Harley Reid's one of them. The great Chris Judd played a game in the
waffle. East Perth.
Right?
Only one.
So playing in the waffle, I know given the state of affairs at West Coast, people think, oh, well, you're just going to get smashed in the waffle as well. Playing in the waffle develops you to play senior football in the AFL. You get confidence. You learn the ability to dominate players. You develop your skill set.
You're also playing against, I mean,
you're playing against men.
Big-bodied men, as opposed to, I mean, underage footies, don't get me wrong, they're big boys, but you are faced against 25, 26-year-olds that have got a bit of nous and a bit of strength and a bit of stuff in them that you don't see at underage footy.
This play the kids mantra that everyone's rolling out, I get it. You want to see the future. But putting these kids into situations in the AFL is not going to help them first up. Like, Harley Reid might be a very one-off that is built for this. You can see he's physical. You can see he's mentally ready for it. That is so rare. These are kids. They're coming in the club 17, 18 years old. I really think a massive issue, and the reason we're actually seeing this is kids who are getting drafted to the club aren't getting the opportunity to develop in the waffle because they're either injured or they're having to play AFL before they're ready.
I agree.
That's all I said about Chessa. I made a comment. It'd be beneficial for him to play in the waffle for 12 months. I stand by it. If you played Campbell Chessa in the waffle for 12 months, he would be one of the best players in the league by the end of it. And then you come into the AFL and you dominate games of footy. I really stand by the development that you can get in the waffle.
And people forget with the Chessa position is that ideally last year he would have played a lot of footy if obviously there wasn't a knee because of injuries at the top level. But also he's had interruptions with his body. So he hasn't been able to get 20, 30 games in at waffle level to get that base or even get some confidence in himself. So there's a myriad of factors with the Chessa situation. And when it comes to Harley Reid, look, even if he's fit and no ailments with him, I'd be staggered if he plays every game this year. For the virtue of, I'm not saying he'll go back and play waffle, but give him, whether it's once every 6 to 8 weeks, just give him a spell. There's no point burning a kid out in 2024. We know he's got the talent, so let's make sure you nurture a 10-year career, not drive into the ground in year one to get an extra 2 or 3 wins.
Well said. Let's get on to Freo. Nick, as we do that, do you reckon you could just controller in front of your lap and turn that aircon off? That'd be beautiful.
A bit cold,
yeah, a little bit fresh in here today, Skeeter. straight out of the cosy bed.
He's a bloke who grew up in Geelong, Corio Bay, which has got a fair bit of temperature below 10 degrees.
Put a jacket on, right? Doesn't mean I don't feel the cold. Just because I grew up where it was cold, it's still cold, Skeeter.
Oh, come on. I was born in Canada.
Okay. Maybe that's a difference. Oh, yeah. Here we go. On the slopes, I'm assuming. Right.
In an igloo.
Snowboard. Skeeter on a snowboard. That'd be bloody good. Just remember that code word. You want to slip
it
down there. And then the Freo Dockers, huge injuries. We saw that. Oscar McDonald and Brennan Cox, they've been confirmed. I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what's happening
with
Oscar.
Oscar's yeah.
I, and sort of my understanding is there's a lot going on rather than, oh, we hope it's a good result.
So does that mean, in your mind, our medical expertise, where's Travis Kelce when we need him? But does that mean that if it's an ACL, you'd know straight away, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but it could be, mate. It could be. You're right. It could be. As far as I was told, it was like MCL, PCL, ACL. Like it was like a car accident. So they're trying to figure out exactly what's going on and how they can heal it and get the best for him, because spoke about him a lot in the preseason, didn't we? And he was going to be a great role player for the Freo Dockers. He'll be out. Brennan Cox has been confirmed as an operation on that hammy. So that's a significant time out of the game. How do they replace them is the question.
Well, I don't want to put a tag on someone too early, but I have seen, I think you were with me, watching Josh Draper play.
Yeah,
was it the preseason match? Now, he's not going to come in and dominate or be the level that obviously a Brennan Cox was, although I just think there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, you're right. We were impressed by that, weren't we?
Yeah, he just moves well. And for those that haven't seen him, and you might disagree with me when you have a look at him, but he moves a bit like Michael Johnson. He's got that sort of the long arms and he's a little gangly, but he's got a really good footy now. So through the NGA Academy, from my knowledge, Josh Draper. I like him. And Hugh Davies was the other player who has come through. I've seen a bit of him playing for Claremont Colts-wise, young redheaded fella, good intercept marker.
Yep.
So both players, I think either or, will get their chance this weekend against North, which I think's not ideal that the Dockers lose one of their role players and obviously one of their key defenders who was playing forward last week. But I don't mind those two blokes, and hopefully against North they might be able to do a job.
Justin Longmuir has been speaking about in the media this week, obviously. I've liked his confidence about it. It doesn't seem like doom and gloom. This game is a lot about messaging, you know, what the messaging externally to punters like you and I and the media and fans and all of that. And I think he's been quite positive about it. So I'd love to see one of those young guys get a chance, because at some point you do have to, after I've just been banging on about, you know, playing the kids. But these guys have been playing waffle. They've been playing waffle for 2 years, these guys. They haven't had a chance at AFL level.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they have developed at the Peel Thunder. The other end of the ground, look, I think it's not definitely going to happen, but very close to definite. I see Luke Jackson playing as a forward, and they're bringing in Reedy, Liam Reedy.
This weekend?
Yep. Because I know that Justin Lomuel loves playing three talls, and they either leave Jackson in the ruck and bring in Pat Voss, or they bring in a standalone ruckman and play Jackson as they wanted to play him for the entire preseason. I think they're warming to that, and I think we'll see Luke Jackson play as a forward against North Melbourne.
Yeah, well, Liam Reedy, having seen him for Peel, he is an absolute monster of a man.
He's a ruckman. He's a Sean Darcy.
Yeah,
he's a backup to Sean Darcy.
He's not just like Jackson. For those who haven't seen Reed, Jackson's athletic and moves. Reedy's got, I mean, if body on body, he can hold his own, albeit he's raw in AFL terms.
North Melbourne Cherry is the
he was good last week.
But he's a bigger ruckman, and I think it's a good matchup, and I think that's what we could say. So I think that would be a good move.
Yeah, look, what you're saying is that Jackson plays that high forward role where he can get up the ground, maybe up to the wing, and then lead up and be given his engine. It's definitely a possibility. But they've got a few options up their sleeve. The only thing I'll say for Freo this week, having done everything right after the first 20 minutes last week, had a victory against the grand finals. That's a massive tick. The last thing they can afford to do is go over there,
come down,
and get rolled against North Melbourne, which is a little fear. I think North Melbourne are a real danger side this weekend. They've won one of their last 20 odd games, but they are still, trust me, I've got concerns about what they might be able to dish up on the weekend.
North Melbourne v Fremantle, Marvel Stadium. Let's get into this one, Skeeter, off the back of that. 10:45, wake up early. Get up early. 10:45 here in the West.
Well, it must be 1 week left of daylight saving, so then it'll go to 11:45.
I think it's brilliant.
It's a graveyard shift for footy fans. They're going, we're not going to get any fans at Marvel Stadium. At 1:45, it's not the end of the world, but yeah, you get 40,000 here, you might get 20,000 at Marvel tops.
Last time they met, North Melbourne, 11 goals, 7.73, defeated Fremantle in last year, round two, round.
Were you there? You might have been there watching Sun Walters near the boundary line, and it all sort of time elapsed, and North, a famous win for them, because that essentially, when you look back, that was the beginning of the end for Fremantle's season.
Yeah, so North Melbourne, look, I don't think they looked terrible last week.
No, I like them. I say the young kids, they should be showing a bit with the young talents coming their way, albeit they're young and they're so raw. But you know, I don't mind them. I like what we saw from McKercher. I think Cheese was good. I thought Wardlaw was outstanding. Down back, unfortunately, they lose Goda for the season with that Achilles injury. That's a massive blow, but to Toby Pink will come in and
Pinky
will back up and hopefully do a job for North on Saturday. But yeah, there's a bit to like about North. I don't mind Cherry in the ruck.
Zach Fisher looks good behind the footy.
Yeah, use of the footy at times can be a little bit left to be desired. Okay. Davies Uniac, LDU.
Oh, we like him.
He's probably their go-to man, I would have thought, most times in the centre square. But no, North.
Do they tag Caleb Sarong? 46 disposals. Do you reckon you put a little bit of, like, a bit of a cooler on him? Can't have him. If Caleb Sarong has 47 touches,
they win.
Right. Yeah. So you got to pay some attention to him.
Now, this actually extends my football knowledge, but who would you use to go to him?
Wow, that's a great question.
I just say he extends my footy. I don't know who they're run with play. Do they have one that just bobs up?
Hugh Greenwood has played that at stages. I mean, Bailey Scott is more of a ball winner. It's not going to be. I'll tell you who it won't be. It won't be Wardlaw. It won't be LDU. It won't be their
creative players. Yeah. Right, so the only thing I'll say is, it is Sarong, as good as he is, is he the 46? He was brilliant. Don't get me wrong. Is he a player that you think? Well, we think if he gets 46 again, he's doing well.
He's a clearance player. Yeah. So he's getting his touches inside the contest. He's not running around getting cheap pill.
No.
So that's what the. If it's someone running around out of wing and in the back pocket getting all these cheap touches, you don't worry about it. But as Brisbane did last week, he's getting them inside the contest, so they need to put a Devin Robertson on him to calm him down. Look, I think Freo win this one, Skeeter, if we're putting some tips through. North Melbourne, they won just once at Marvel Stadium last year, but five of their matches decided close by less than 10 points. So I think it'll be closer than people think, but I think Freo win. What say you?
Yeah, I'm with Freo as well. I think you have to off the form we saw, but I've got North Melbourne giving this a real shake as well.
And
talk about some of those close losses. One of those, you look back at that game against Sydney where they had the interchange infringement. They were leading by a few points deep in the game. So they find ways to lose, North, but I think they're heading the right trajectory. Fascinating to see what the Dockers' name at selection tonight be. I've tipped the Dockers, and look, I hope for their sake they get across the line and make it 2 from 2 because, you know, what we saw last week, if that's a relative gauge to what we're going to see consistently from the Dockers this year, they'll be either playing finals or
at least good to watch.
100%.
Yeah. West Coast Eagles play GWS at Optus Stadium Sunday, 3:50 p.m. Make sure you get down there, West Coast fans, and have a look at this one. West Coast, last time they played, defeated the GWS Giants.
19 points.
100 to 81 in round two. This round last year.
Yeah, and the week before, the Eagles have been beaten by North by 5 points. They came home.
Yes.
And, you know, they were considered outsiders, but they got across the line. We thought, hello, this could be a new dawn. This time, they go and lose by 5 points plus at a zero on there, so 50 points against Port Adelaide. I don't think I could ask one West Coast Eagles supporter and say, honestly, in your heart of hearts, do you think you'll win on Sunday? I mean, there might be absolute diehard, but the team they're going to put out there, minus Oscar Allen, wow, I just wonder where they're going to be able to create goals. And Sam Taylor and his cohort of defenders, Buckley, one of your faves, that at the moment, and this can change quickly, at the moment they look a very cohesive, happy team. Stephen Canito has spoken about the trust they have in each other. There's not too many areas on the ground that they are struggling, including at full forward. Jesse Hogan's kicked 10 goals, leads the Coleman medal.
So coming over probably against the best side in the competition, no team, I don't think, in the history of AFL have gone in going, well, we're just going to lose. The West Coast would be trying to come up with a plan. And I think against a good side, you'd be trying to make it a bit of a dour affair, contested game. GWS won the contested possession count by 32 in round one, the biggest differential of the round.
That's against Collingwood.
Yeah, so they are a contested side, GWS. They aren't this free-flowing, beautiful ball movement, you know, West Coast of 2018 type side. They're a in and under, contested.
And spread.
And then the tsunami, right? This orange tsunami, which, you know, whatever that's, wherever that's come from. And these chain-like plays. So I also think it's a really hard match to strategize against for Adam Simpson and his coaches.
Do you actually look back at what happened 12 months ago, how you managed to shut them down? Completely irrelevant?
Completely irrelevant.
even though the personnel for the Giants is pretty similar?
Completely irrelevant.
Okay. But you don't look back at previous games when if you've played someone?
Not the previous 12 year. Months.
12
no.
months, okay.
No, you would never. Same year. You would never, yeah. If you played, you know, if this was at the end of the season, you'd look back. Excuse me. I don't think you'd ever look. I don't think I've ever looked at a game from the year before. A lot changes, and a lot's changed with this team since round two, 2023.
Well, clearly, because they were beaten by the Eagles and then went on to play in a prelim final. So,
I'm really looking forward to watching this game just because I'm going to get to see GWS in person. Eagles fans, you're going to get your wish. You're going to have the kids. I think I'll be proven correct. I don't know what that's going to do for you. Okay, that might seem exciting and playing the kids, but you're going to get smashed. You're going to get smashed. And I don't know what development kids get out of that.
But that being said, so
there's no alternative.
Andrew Gaff, the decision to drop him, do you...
Yeah, that's correct.
You support it, yes.
Yeah, that's correct. Absolutely correct. Jack Darling would have to be in the gun as well. But
how can he be in the gun with Oscar Allen? I mean, tell me the four that comes in. It's a difficult spot. I mean, Gaffey's a bit different because there's probably, you know, a few more options in the midfield of the ground. But what have they got, you know, Jack Williams as a young guy? Marek's going to come in. He's just re-signed a contract to take him a two-year extension. So that's good news for him, by the way. So
yes, if you're a senior player at the West Coast Eagles, at a very minimum, you need to play your role. Right, so if you're Jack Darling, you can't be beaten in a contest. You can't be beaten in a contest. It's such a controllable thing, contested, like a one-on-one contest.
Just halve the contest at the very least. Is
Jack,
that what you're saying?
Yeah, Jack was beaten or pushed under the footy too often last week.
And that's what Sam Taylor does so well.
Correct. So if you're a senior player, if you're Jack Darling, if you're Tom Brass, if you're Jeremy McGovern, if you're Elliot Yeo, if you're Tim Kelly, you need to play your role and not be beaten by your man. That's a very bare minimum. And a lot of them didn't do that last week. And although it was a 50-point loss, they would have been disappointed with that. They were lucky it wasn't 100 points.
No, it was 40 scoring shots.
And unfortunately, that's off the back of you v your man. And it's a mentality, mate. Like, so if they dish up that again, they will get done by 100 points.
Yep,
absolutely. Will Schofield, Mark Rennings, Shuttle Footycast. Okay, let's get through the rest of the...
And we've both tipped the Giants, obviously.
I mean, you didn't need to spell it out, but I think the
narrative there was heading in the same direction.
Yeah, I reckon we're picking the Giants. St Kilda v Collingwood MCG tonight, Skeeter. 4:30, early, like knock off work early. Get down to the pub and have a shelter.
Absolutely. Really good game. Everyone's expecting the bounce back factor from Collingwood last week. They're expecting the bounce back factor tonight. I don't mind St Kilda bringing in a couple of real hard nuts, Zach Jones...
Jack Sinclair, big in.
And Jack Sinclair, who's an All-Australian, fairest and best. He's
gun.
So that's significant for the Saints. What I do know is I reckon this game, it could be the most dour, boring, low-scoring game simply because Ross, the boss, is in charge. No, that's
what you need to do against
Collingwood. Yeah, that suits St Kilda perfectly. So, I look at the Collingwood side, and obviously you get Mitchell back. Frampton returns to premiership players. I just wonder where they're going to keep their goals.
Right.
Against a very, very miserly St Kilda defence. That's one, and obviously...
Well, Billy Frampton's come in and played a defensive forward role effectively.
Grand final last year, yeah.
Rafe McInnes can kick goals. Like, he's a goal kicker.
Yeah.
But he's not a 196er.
No, he's certainly not established in the caper yet. So they're going to need some from their small forwards, Bobby Hill, Jamie Elliott, Lockie Schultz.
Will Hoskin Elliott being out.
Managed.
Yeah, they love a managed down at Collingwood. Tom Mitchell's back off being managed. So he was being managed. They managed him for a week. It's good.
Well, so do you think that's a term for
taking the absolute
dropping?
Piss.
No, it's dropping them, or do you think they had a
dropped.
Sore spot?
Yeah, dropped.
Yeah.
Absolutely dropped. Just drop them.
What's
just,
hard to say
just
that?
So admit, I don't know. Clubs are weird things. Nick Dacos's 50 games.
These are the best ever 50 games you've ever seen.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's had a 49-1 ranking system on his games. Josh has been out in force supporting his big brother or little brother. His dad's probably been putting posters up all over the town. Like, genuinely, honestly, who gives a shit? Who cares if he played 50 games? 50 games is the most irrelevant milestone. Game one, big. You know, no one gives a shit about 50 games. Are we actually making a deal about this? It's embarrassing.
I suspect the West will have a 50-game feature on Harley Reach when he gets there.
A lot of they won't have a 2-game feature. Genuinely, let's rank Harley Reid's top 2 games after this weekend.
I think I saw Dan Conn's getting involved in that sort of discussion.
Question here. If St Kilda win, which is a chance, we're not giving them no chance here, right?
No, I think this is a real opportunity for them.
Collingwood will be 0-3.
Yeah, premiership gone.
Premiership gone. Cannot win.
Well, history says you're 0-2, you don't win it. So 0-3.
Cannot win the flag.
I don't think they can. No, I didn't think they could before the start of the season. I didn't think they'd win it. When I say couldn't win it, they could always, of course they could win it. I just didn't think they would be able to win it this year. I just thought it's just the nature of the beast in AFL that you're always under the pump as premiers and you start a bit behind and they've been to the movies. They were looking at themselves on the big screen before the match against Sydney, which I don't have major issues with. But, yeah, I 0-3, no. If they get to that point, I don't think they can win the flag.
Who are you picking? Going to keep moving.
Collingwood.
Just. I'm going to... This would be my roughie of the week. I'm going to pick St Kilda on this one.
Okay. Well, they're sort of rough. They're outsiders. But I think there's good reason to lean that way. At some stage, you think Collingwood, there'll be a response. But will it be tonight? We'll find out.
Adelaide v Geelong, Adelaide Oval, Friday night. This will be a good game, I think. Probably years gone by. Geelong, probably a better side. And Adelaide moving up the ranks a little bit. Crows came back late last week against the Gold Coast Suns after kicking absolute stuff all in the first three quarters. They had a big last quarter, couldn't get over the line. Geelong, on the other hand, get a late win against St Kilda. How do you see this one? Adelaide Oval, I think, gives Adelaide a significant advantage. If this was at Geelong, I'd be all over Geelong, but I think Adelaide at home, for the first time might get right up and about.
Yeah, I mean, Geelong's lost what, four of its past six against the Crows in the City of Churches. They were good last week. They dominated the inside 50s and they won a game that they very rarely lose at GMHB anyway. But there's a couple of areas of concern for the Cats, I would have thought, and more against Adelaide. The question mark is, can Adelaide, after the build-up, after having, you know, Knicks re-sign and ready to go, and they've filled their boots up thinking they're going to play finals. A bit of woe is me last year. They, you know, had the Sydney loss with the scoring review, and they were a bit down on life.
Can they be better?
Yeah, can they be better? Just win those tight games, which they didn't do last year on regular occasions. I think they're a good enough side. Look, it doesn't help having Tex Walker out of the team. He reportedly will come back in this week. He sounds like he's right to go. Riley Thilthorpe's still a way off, but Tex Walker's the guy that will give them some structure and hopefully, I think Adelaide, I'm going to put last weekend down to a bit of a, you know, a mulligan. I'll give them that one
as a bit wet, and
Gold Coast early doors going to be tough. I think Adelaide will be a lot better here.
You know how Collingwood were like 17, 18. They could still be on a run of point games decided by under a goal, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like they won like 18 in a row. Crows, now 1-5. So one win, 5 losses in matches decided by a kick since the start of last season. So they don't know how to win them.
It's funny because, you go through history and I think Carlton went through a bit of that.
And now they're starting to win them.
You
do learn to win these games. You learn to manage situations where you might be up by a little bit, or manage situations where you need to score. And you do that by experience and being in the games. Like, I think West Coast, there was a period where we were losing them, and then you see the situation enough that instead of going, oh shit, what do we do here? You know what to do.
Mm.
And it becomes a learned thing. So the Collingwood stuff, as much as you and I and others were going, well, they can't just keep winning, they learned to do that. It was like, it became what they know how to do.
And you do train for it to some degree.
Last
2 minutes. And yep. Well, interesting to see Sam Mitchell last year, I think it was, when he was asked about, you know, they'd lost a close game. He said, no, I'm not really worried about the last 2 minutes this stage. We will at some point get to that. But he was trying to...
He's got a lot more to build than just the last 2 minutes. That's a one percenter.
At the very end of the chain. But
who are picking?
Adelaide.
Yeah, same actually. Hawthorn v Melbourne MCG Saturday, 1:35 over here. Melbourne beat Hawthorn last time they met. This is going to be an interesting game. I can't quite place Hawthorn at the moment.
No, but I don't give them no chance in this one either. I thought they kicked poorly against the Essendon side. Are they lucky to have James Sicily playing after being?
I'm happy that. I'm happy to have him.
Asked to answer a report or charge of kicking.
Mark Robinson said the AFL tribunal let the AFL community
down. Yeah,
I don't know.
Was it that big? Was it,
mate? I couldn't be further on the other spectrum here. He's got 10 blokes around him. If you want to go and start something, as the Essendon Footy Club did, I reckon he expected a bit back.
Did he kick?
He kick him? Look, his leg made contact and his leg was extended out. Is that a kick?
Was it a bit
Jackie,
like
not Jackie Chan down the middle of the ground?
Was it a bit like Dennis Sillie on Javed Mirdad? Are you old enough to remember that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You sure if you don't?
Oh, no, I don't.
Dennis Sillie, a little love tap with
what year would that have been in?
1982.
I was born in 89.
Well,
so.
You know what? I was born in 1970. I wasn't there when JFK was assassinated. But I know what happened, Scully. I've seen the vision. I don't just think, I was born. What year were you born?
Who? 89.
I was born in 89 when Geelong fell short against Hawthorn in the grand final. I don't know or care at anything prior to 1989.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Welcome to our generation, Skeeter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, social media versus traditional. We lost the debate. We'll win the war.
We'll win the war. I don't think you will, mate. It's going very quickly.
I think you're right. We'll probably lose the war
as well. It's okay. You've just morphed into new age Mark Rennings here on the Shelter Footycast. Make sure you're listening out for the code word as well for your chance to enter for the 2 tickets. x2 to the Western Bulldogs, West Coast Eagles game over in Melbourne next weekend. So clear the schedule, jumping on a plane with the West Coast Eagles players. You got the code word ready yet?
Do you want to go with it?
I don't know. You can just slip it in whenever you like.
I'm going to go with Busselton.
Busselton. If you spell it wrong, it's fine as well.
How can you spell it wrong?
I don't know.
Busselton. Okay. I mean, it's not like we're... Busselton.
I got it. Busselton. So Busselton is the code word. Backchatstudios.com.au. You'll see the pop-up, or you can jump on social, Shelter Footycast on Instagram. Click the link, enter code word, and you will go into the running. We'll be drawing this on Monday. So you've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to enter. Clear the schedule, get on board. Bustleton is the code word. Thought you might have had something more creative for us, Skeeter, but there you go. Bustleton's the code word.
You didn't. I'm trying to link it with shelter. I'll go through there.
We'll give you another chance. We're going to have more of these to give away during the year, so you can have a bit more time to think through them. Hawthorn, Melbourne, who are we picking? We haven't broken this game down at all.
No, well, by the way, the Hawks were outscored 41 points from clearances in round one. That's last and their second worst differential over four seasons. They haven't beaten the Demons since 18. I just think the mids of Melbourne might be a bit good with Gawney going pretty well. I think the experience of Melbourne at the G to win.
I thought a couple of their new recruits played pretty well. D'Ambrosio was very nice behind the
Jack
footy.
Jack Ginnivan as well. Yes, looked Ginnivan. Good. I think he fits well.
Well, he's a good player.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a good player, so we shouldn't be surprised there. I think Essendon win. Is that funny, is it?
Hawthorn or Melbourne?
Essendon will not win this game. I think it'd be very hard for Essendon to get over either of these sides in this game.
It's only round one. Round two, we're already lost in transit.
Melbourne. Although I don't really trust them that much this year, but I don't think Hawthorn can beat them. Sydney, Essendon, SCG, Saturday evening. Nick's team is cheering over there. Nick's a Sydney man. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be? You'd be sitting there with the you'd be just
cheer around the right.
Head wobble going everywhere. Absolutely. At the moment. They're going beautifully. Playing great footy. And you could talk about them for 10 minutes about what they're doing, the way they're playing. That first half against Collingwood was just outstanding. I mean, the Melbourne victory was good. I just thought last week, if that's a sign of what this team can do, with the reinforcements still to come in Taylor Adams and Callum Mills and Luke Parker.
So on that, some of those guys, like Mills, captain, plays, but Heaney spending time in the midfield, which he probably would have been more forward. He's been outstanding, one of their best players. You've got Errol Goulden running around in there. James Rowbottom's playing a role that I think they really like. He's that defensive midfielder in there. There's a couple of players there with Parker and Adams. Now, Parker comes back, I think probably plays more half forward and pinch hits through the middle, I think. Taylor Adams isn't he left Collingwood because he was at stages was getting challenged for a position. I don't know if he's gone to the right club if he wanted to walk up, lay down Mazzeir position to walk into.
No, that's true. But I think in terms of depth, and I've always said you can't have too much, like the midfield options that they now have.
Chad Warner was outstanding last week.
Chad Warner, if any of the WA clubs have any way of getting into his ear in the next year or two.
Chad.
Yeah, that's a gimme. And obviously Dean Cox is doing a great job in that regard. I think Parker comes back in, he's a midfield bull. I think it's just great luxury to have the young players stand up so well and do the job they have. Logan McDonald hasn't looked out of place with nobody around him. I think, this team, I think they scored, 40 or 50 points from their midfield change last week. This is a team that, they're going to have a couple of blips along the way, but they're going better than what I thought they would be.
I've just thought to myself, why does Sydney develop these young players? How do they develop them so well? They play in the VFL now, I believe, Sydney. I think they've gone down, they've made that big competition.
Yeah, the NEAFL's gone, I think.
But for a long time, they played in the NEAFL, and they would dominate sides. Mm. And there is nothing like winning, honestly. And whether you, I really think their NEAFL and now VFL side, they smack sides, and blokes have 50 touches. Remember Tom Mitchell back in the day used to have 50 in the NEAFL just without even trying. As stupid as that sounds, winning in your reserves grade like West Coast cannot do because either they haven't set it up correctly, the waffle hasn't provided a good enough structure for it to succeed. You can't beat that. So I don't know. Maybe that's a win. Sydney smash Essendon in this one. They smash them. Essendon no good. Sydney smash them.
Good news for the Bombers, though. Sam Draper looks like he's ready to return.
With Goldstein?
Probably they will.
Dual wield in the ruck.
At the SCG seems perhaps a question, but he's too good a player to leave out. And you'd think you'd be going, if you're going with one, you're heading down Draper's path if he's fully fit and ready to go ahead of Goldstein, I would have thought.
Do you agree with me? Sydney smash Essendon?
I think they beat them. Essendon's one of those teams, I think. They kicked, I think, six of the last seven goals last time these sides met. I don't think you can tip against Sydney, but I would have also thought that, Essendon's got that style of play. If it comes off on game day, Sco, I think, it's hectic and it looks great when it's all rolling. If they get a little, let's put it this way, Sydney's faced Melbourne, Collingwood, two really top sides. I'm not saying there's going to be a letdown for them, but they might, you know, Essendon might just be nuisance value for a while, but Sydney to win.
At the SCG as well, I think probably not too much of a challenge, if I'm honest. Western Bulldogs, Gold Coast, this one up at Mars Stadium. Is that Ballarat?
That's Ballarat.
Ballarat. Talk about cold. This joint is freezing. It is a shocking place. If it's not raining here, Ballarat, I'll be very surprised. The shittest weather in the country, Ballarat, I reckon. It'll be right up there. Gold Coast Suns will absolutely hate that. Last time they met, Gold Coast beat the Western Bulldogs around 11, 2023. Is there already pressure on Bulldogs coach Luke Beveridge after one round?
Not after one round, but gee, given what they dished up, particularly in the second half. And by the way, it's going to be 20 degrees and sunny at Ballarat on Sunday, just for what it's worth. So not, you know, pretty much.
The wind chill factor will be
significant. No, mate, it's only March.
Yeah, no, it's
I think it's in 3 months, I think you're right. It's cold.
I've got family from Ballarat, but it's a shithole, okay? It's a bigger shithole than Geelong.
Anyone listening in Ballarat to the Shelter Footy Cast, just get in touch.
If you want to come back at me and say it's not, fair enough, but I don't think it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I love what the Gold Coast have done in the first halves of both games they've played. But, see, they've had a couple of fallaways, and that will be the concern of Damien Hardwick. So, yes, they've won two games, perfect start of the season, like what they've done. But they stopped to a walk last week against the Crows. Yeah. They got home by six.
That's a young side.
Yeah, possibly.
And probably Damien Hardwick's probably been working very hard on their start. And, sometimes, other things go to the wayside when you do focus on that. So, yeah, I think that's probably a good point. Matty Rowell, I think he's close to favourite in the Brownlow right now, which is just like his first season in the AFL, and then he got injured and sort of went away for a while. But I don't think can Matt Rowell win the Brownlow medal?
Why couldn't he?
Well,
no, in all seriousness, he's got obviously Tuke Miller, who probably will take some votes.
Noah Anderson
is very good. Put it this way, if the Gold Coast Suns can win 12 games this year,
yep,
10 to go, if you're in that 12, if you're winning games of footy, obviously easy to poll Brownlow votes, I would suspect.
Currently third favourite in the Brownlow, $9. Right?
Who's favourite?
Favourite would be...
is it still Nick Dacos?
Let's have a little think. Nick Dacos is the favourite, and Tom Green is second favourite.
Tom Green.
I'd have Tom Green over Matt Rowell any day of the week as a Brownlow medalist.
Oh, well, if he's a Brownlow medalist, he deserves to win it.
No, not whether, who I'd prefer. I just think Tom Green looks more like a Brownlow medalist than Matt Rowell.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sledge Matt Rowell. Oh, he's a great player.
He's been terrific. Yeah, different. I mean, Green's just a big body. But I really like the Gold Coast midfield's been good. They had, their first half's really good. I think they've restricted their opposition to 21 points in those two games or less than. The concern for me, the Bulldogs. Now, Jamari Ugal-Hagan, I'm told, very close to re-signing with the Dogs.
Right, that'll be that's very big.
You mentioned Luke Beveridge. The question mark levelled at him after that loss to Melbourne is Caleb Daniel, one of their better users of the footy,
yep,
one of the guys that distributes so well and did it when he came on, but he was a sub. And so that created a bit of angst amongst Bulldog supporters.
Yeah.
And he's usually, I think Riley Sanders might have been
subbed
out. He only had 15 disposals at that stage.
That's
so
strange.
It's some curious selections from the outside, and Bevo obviously will justify. If you win, you don't have to answer anyone. If you lose, that's when you get cop a bit of criticism. But, yeah, I think there's too much talent in that side, led by Marcus Bontempelli, for them to miss the finals this year and him not be under immense pressure.
The question always comes up when they start struggling. Why should we play Norton in the back line? Because they've got really good talent in Ugal-Hagan.
They're short down back.
Darcy, and they've got Lobb. And so it's like, well, why aren't we playing it? Yeah, and they're short. I don't think you do that. I think he's a really good forward. So I don't think you put one of your best forwards in the back line.
Didn't get near it last week. But that's and
who did they play?
They played Melbourne. They're playing the Gold Coast.
So Sam May, Lever, two best backs in the competition.
Agree.
It's probably a decent reason. Like Lobb didn't get near it either.
That being said, if Darcy, I think he played really well in the VFL, he kicks a bag of goals. I mean, Lobb's the player that you feel, is he vulnerable? Because he's...
Should be.
I mean, he's one of those players that he's... Is probably he certainly can't play back, but yeah, Norton. I don't put it this way. They're at a point where they might have to consider it. If Darcy comes into that side, Jamari Ugal-Hagan is an out and out forward. Is Norton see what he's like down back. I mean,
Lobb had three kicks last week, yeah. So if he's not in the gun, I don't know who he is. Leave Norton in the forward line. Drop Lobb if you want to play Darcy. I wouldn't be putting Norton in behind
the footy. Fair enough. I'm tipping the Bulldogs, by the way.
Doesn't help them score, which they lack to do. And I'm picking the Bulldogs as well. Don't know why we're both doing that, but we both are.
Well, you said he mightn't survive after round two, so I'm interested about that.
Okay.
Bevo, that is.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes, just trying to hype up the trip. Right, so Western Bulldogs.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I'm just trying to hype up the trip.
Thanks to Travel and Sport Australia.
Thank you very much, Tassa. Make sure you enter code word Busselton, backchatstudios.com.au. Richmond v Port Adelaide last game before the West Coast game over here. But Richmond, Port Adelaide, last one we haven't done. MCG Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. game over here, 4 p.m. over there.
Let me say this, a huge achievement, 350 games, Travis Boak. An absolute superstar. I don't know if you know him personally.
Absolutely. He's my captain at Geelong Falcons.
Well, there you go. I'll shut up and let you give a bit of a spiel on the great man.
So my old man and his old man played footy together at the Torquay Footy Club. Played a lot of footy together. Great mates. Knew each other for a long time. Fortunately, Trav's old man's passed away as well. But, mate, we didn't grow up together. We grew up playing against each other in Geelong and then played together at the Geelong Falcons. He was my skipper. Always a gun. Like, just the player you see now, that's what Travis Boak was as a 17-year-old. And he's never changed. He played in that grand final in his first year for Port Adelaide, 2007. Joel Selwood played on one side, who I'd played a lot of footy against, and Travis Boak on the other. So Joel couldn't outlast Travis. Joel had probably a little bit more success than Trav.
Well, I was going to say that the 207 GF was a horror show for Port Adelaide. But
yeah,
go on.
But Trav's been I just think a great player, underrated outside of Adelaide, probably. Captained his side, had a lot of success without getting that premiership medal. And maybe if he can keep his body in good nick, he still looks like he's contributing to that side, maybe he gets a crack at it this year, because I think Port Adelaide are big challenges for the premiership this year. But just a huge congratulations. This is why it's so ridiculous that Nick Daicos off 50 games is getting... This bloke's played 350 games. This is who we're celebrating this week. Nick Daicos can F off.
Well, there was a bit of discussion.
Go Boaky.
There's a bit of discussion on social media again about that exact fact, the Herald Sun giving 50 games...
It's embarrassing.
...feature.
It's embarrassing.
...to a Collingwood player.
It's embarrassing.
And Travis Boak... Not
it's 350 games, yeah, mate. You're the top 20 people of all time.
I get it. I 100% agree with you. But let me tell you this. If the situation was similar where there was a 350 game at a Melbourne club,
yes,
and a 50 or 100 game parade in WA, we would see limited coverage of the 350 gamer. I'm just saying.
Penderbury last year was all over the paper.
No, I don't know. I mean, look, well, okay. We've got the game out here, pre-game. There is. There's a piece on Bugs.
We got a Daicos. So Daicos, he's on the front pages with his brother. He's probably hugging, sitting on his lap of Josh Daicos.
Anyway, Travis Boak, outstanding. I think if you can break this game down, Richmond so brave against Carlton, but they've lost so many players to injury or they're undermanned.
Yes.
They're always a danger there. I still remember this time last year, it was later in the year. I think you went away and said, well, you were here and said, I can guarantee you now, Richmond will beat Port Adelaide. They had a change of coach. Yes. And it might have been Adam Uze who came in. Either way. I tipped Richmond off the back of that. Port Adelaide won. I'm never following that type of crap from you again.
Pooperama.
I think Port Adelaide, given what you said about their, and I agree with you, I think they've got all the tools early and they've strength. How do you think Radaglia, do you get a look at Radaglia?
Yeah. Liked him.
And
and
Ivan. Yes. Ivan did really well. Yeah.
I think it's difficult to judge against the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, it's fair share. But I still think, though, that I think... If footy clubs like Port Adelaide, I know they're so proud of their history, if they don't respond for Travis Boak, it's not 400, it's 350, but it's a bloody rare feat to get there.
Hang on. 350 is unbelievable.
I'm 100%.
Port Adelaide win this because of that reason.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and watch Richmond get them. Port Adelaide get it done. The MCG, I mean, they're going to play the MCG, one of their only games in the first eight rounds. They've got two games outside of Adelaide Oval, so Port Adelaide should be steaming after this one. We both pick Port. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footy Cast. Skeeter, that is all we've got time for. Just to remind people of that code word, thanks to Travel and Sports Australia. What do they need to enter? Backchatstudios.com.au or Shelter Footycast on Instagram.
That's correct. Do I mind giving
a code word?
Code word is Busselton. Now, I've got to come up with something a bit more inventive next time, but I'll do that. Apologies, but I try and make it the old KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. So that's Busselton. And when you think of Busselton, I think of Shelter.
We can confirm one thing. Stupid.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.